Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We thank you for being a part of the growing family of listeners on Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, and usually we are here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, but the bishop could not be with us today, and we are here with Father James Stembler. It's been a long time since we've had you on the show, Father.
It has been a while. It's good to be with you this morning.
Great to be with you as well, Father. We appreciate you taking time from your schedule to be here with us. Our gospel this morning is from St. Mark, so if you would share that with us now.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A scenario in the gospel that we can all relate to, Father. We all go back home. Maybe the place we remember as a child, the place we grew up, and we don't really find it the way we remember it. And we hear of Jesus returning to his native place, and he's a bit surprised about the reaction of the people that are there.
No, it's very interesting, and it raises a wonderful question. Do we hold people to their past? Do we hold people in memory? Or do we accept who is standing before us at that moment? I mean, in this case, Jesus grew up in this area. These people knew him growing up, obviously, from their questions. And they are holding Jesus in memory. This is who I accept. This is who I remember. But in the process of holding him in memory, they're not looking at who is standing before them now. And that's not very proper. I mean, if you look at the life of Jesus here on this earth, Jesus doesn't seem to ever hold anyone's past against him or against them. I mean, for example, there's a point in time where Jesus calls Peter Satan. And then the next time Jesus is conversing with Peter, it's like that never happened. That was something that happened at this moment. It's taken care of. Now you move on. But we tend to hold things, enshrine things even, in our memory. And it's difficult for us to accept who is standing in front of us because we remember when. You know, it's very difficult when you, for example, visit someone you haven't seen in a long time because you remember them from a certain point in time. That's your last frame of reference. And now that person is standing in front of you looking at entirely different, perhaps, looking older or whatever, and you're remembering the person back then, but you should be talking to the person who's standing in front of you right now. And that's the problem, I would say, with the people of Jesus' native place. They are holding him to his past. And they're not accepting who is standing in front of them now. They're not even addressing who's standing in front of them now because they're caught in the past. Where did this man get all this? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of these four? Are not his sisters here with us? They're still seeing Jesus younger. Before, all that is happening in Jesus, we're in Mark chapter 6, all that has been taking place. And so they're not accepting who's standing in front of them. So they don't seem to have faith because they don't seem to accept who's in front of them. They're not trusting the Jesus that is standing in front of them. And so it's interesting how it's worded. He was not able to perform any mighty deed there. He was amazed at their lack of faith. I mean, how often have we held someone to their past, but there's a whole new person standing in front of me? Why are we holding someone to our memory? Do we not accept who God has put it before us right now? And doesn't that indicate a lack of trust, a lack of faith? Because obviously, what we have enshrined in our memories is what's important to us.
We're saying that people can't change.
Exactly. And conversion is an important understanding of our faith. Conversion is something that's ongoing. It doesn't stop. I mean, I may have become a Catholic on such and such a date and such a time, but I'm still growing into what that means. I'm still going through a process of conversion and becoming more and more accepting of who I am and who I am in relationship with God and in relationship with God's creation. I mean, what is it you hear people say? I'm still filling in the shoes. For example, I was ordained on January the 21st, 1989. It didn't end there. It didn't stop there. I've been growing into what occurred on that day. I've been growing into that for years. And I'm coming to understand more and more in the relationships that I've experienced, in the assignments that I've had, in the people I have been able to minister to and they have ministered to me. I've been able to grow in the understanding of what that sacrament of holy orders means and what it is meaning for me as I'm becoming more and more, hopefully, more and more a priest of Jesus Christ, a priest of the church.
So we all have a journey.
We all have a journey. And, we mark moments, but it doesn't end at those moments. What if I used to tell married couples on the wedding day, we're all here and, people are, whew, it's almost all over, I hope the cake is at the reception and it better look okay, but, it's going to be over pretty soon. And I look at them and the couple and I say, it's not almost over, it's only just begun. The Carpenters were very smart. Remember their first major hit. It's only just begun, it's beginning. This is a whole new venture. And for a person being ordained, it's the beginning of a whole new part of one's life and what God is calling that person to do. And where the hope is that we're growing into that as time goes by.
So they're on a journey to have their life together and grow together.
Correct. And here Jesus has come to this, his native place, to preach and teach, but these people just don't seem to be accepting who is standing in front of them. They're holding Jesus to the past. This is who I remember. What kind of faith is that? Obviously not much, because Jesus could not perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people. But faith means I take each moment as it comes and put myself into the moment, because God is in the moment. And God is in the persons and in the experiences that I'm having on a day-to-day on a day-to-day basis. And so I need to be in the moment. These people are holding Jesus to their own moment, which is in the past. This is who I see. They're not accepting who stands before them now.
That is such a good lesson for all of us. I love that. We can definitely see that we've done that before many times.
Well, I mean, I think we all can make the sign of the cross. There has probably been a time when if not all of us, the majority of us have done that. And I think this is an opportunity to learn that that's not really a good thing to do. You know, we need to accept who's before us, because things have happened in the person's life. Why should I hold them to something back here when they may be, you know, something has happened in their life that has helped them be able to move on and move forward in the love of God?
To be done to us as we would do to others.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, Mark is very succinct. It's very quick and to the point. But Mark gives a very full understanding of the sentence when Jesus says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place." And then Mark goes on, "and among his own kin, and in his own house." That's extremely specific.
Yes, he is very specific. Thank you, Father. You're listening to Our Shepherd's View. I am here with the very Reverend James Stembler, who is sitting in for Bishop Michael Mulvey this morning. We will take a short break, and when we return, we will share the Word of Life for July. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. It is the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as we do on the first Sunday of every month, we share with you the Word of Life. And our Word of Life this month is from Matthew.
Find renewal within. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Jesus is walking, surrounded by a crowd. A desperate father has just begged him to come to the aid of his dying daughter. While on his way there, he meets someone else, a woman who has been suffering from blood loss for many years, makes her way through the crowd. Her serious physical condition also forces her to limit her family and social interaction. The woman does not call out to Jesus, nor speak, but instead comes up from behind him. She dares to touch the fringe of his garment, purposely thinking, "If I could only touch his cloak, I will be healed of this suffering that torments me." And behold, Jesus turns, looks at her, and reassures her. Her faith has obtained her salvation. This was not only about her physical health, but an encounter with God's love through Jesus' gaze. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. This episode from Matthew's Gospel opens an unexpected perspective for us, too. God is always on his way toward us, but he also awaits our initiative so that we do not miss an appointment with him. Our faith journey, although bumpy and marked by mistakes, fragility, and disappointments, has immense value. God is the Lord of true life and wants to share this life with all of us. his sons and daughters. In his eyes, we are rich with a dignity that no circumstance can suppress. For this reason, today, Jesus says to us, too, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. We find help to live this word of life in what Focolare's founder, Chiara Lubick, wrote when meditating precisely on this gospel passage in 1997. In faith, men and women clearly demonstrate that they do not rely on themselves, but trust in the one who is stronger, she wrote. Jesus calls the woman he has healed, daughter, to show that he really wants to give her not only the gift of physical healing, but also the gift of divine life that can renew her entirely. Jesus, in fact, works miracles so that we can accept the salvation that he brings. He embodies the Father's gift of forgiveness, and when this gift is communicated to men and women, it transforms them. How can we live this word? By showing God our trust in him when we face serious challenges. This attitude certainly does not relieve us of our responsibilities, nor does it dispense us from doing all we can. Yet our faith can be put to the test. We see it clearly in this suffering woman who is able, nonetheless, to overcome the obstacle of the crowd that stands between her and the Master. We need to have faith, then, but a faith that does not doubt in the face of trials. We should show Jesus that we have understood the immense gift of divine life that he has brought us. We must be grateful to him and correspond to it. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. This certainty also allows us to bring a measure of salvation by tenderly touching those who are suffering, in need, darkness, or bewilderment. This is what happened to a mother from Venezuela who found the courage to forgive. I was feeling desperate for help when I attended a meeting on the gospel, where I heard Jesus' words, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God," and "Love your enemies." Love your enemies. How could I forgive those who had killed my son? And yet a seed had entered me, and the decision to forgive finally prevailed. Now I can truly call myself a child of God. Recently, I was called to a meeting with my son's killer, who had been caught. It was difficult, but grace intervened. There was no hatred or rancor in my heart, only great pity and the intention to entrust him to God's mercy.
You know, again, I think all of us can remember the gospel where the woman touches Jesus' cloak, and then he said to her, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." That was our gospel last Sunday. And there are so many comments in this word of life that help us along in our faith journey. Even though it can be a bumpy road, it can be filled with plenty of mistakes, it has tremendous value for deepening our faith.
There's a painting in Magdala, I believe it is the village of Magdala, where Mary of Magdala comes from, in a church there that's been built, and it's a beautiful painting, very large painting, and it's feet of people in a street, and you can see the hems of garments and so forth. And in the midst of all of these feet and hems of garments, here's a hand. And the hand is close to touching the hem of a garment. And it's this point. And you think about, if I merely touch his cloak, I will be healed of this suffering. She had hemorrhages. So that's, you know, very painful. And you know, just to have that trust that just touching a garment is going to make me well is such a great deal of faith. Here's a person who society has sort of pushed to the side. But in a society that in a person that society has pushed to the side, Jesus finds such strong faith, such trust. And so the words of Jesus are very reassuring. Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. To have that amount of trust, that amount of faith, look what can happen. We're afraid, I think, at a lot of times to take that step because there's some doubt within us. But she didn't have that. And Jesus' words reassure her that she is a good person. I think that's, you know, there are wonderful teachers in the gospel, and here's an insignificant, tossed to the side woman who is an excellent teacher for us, who helps us see that we need to have that amount of faith. What is it you read elsewhere in the Gospels? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You know, we may sit back and say, well, how can you move a mountain? Do we even have that amount of trust for something like that? Where is our trust in what God says? Where is our faith in what the scriptures say? How is that being lived out in our life each day? I think that's food for thought for us.
Well, absolutely. And then there was the last part. Jesus embodies the Father's gift of forgiveness. And when we have that, it's transformative. All of us have been there at some point in time, have had that forgiveness, and it is so liberating, so freeing.
It is. And I think a lot of times where we, oh, there's no way it can be freeing or something like that. But I think with the faith, we begin to see that there's a lot of things that are shackling us, that are holding us back. And faith, trust, enables us to free ourselves from that. St. Paul certainly uses that image throughout his letters. What was it that Søren Kierkegaard said? We need to take the leap of faith.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Father James Stembler. Thank you for sitting in for Bishop Michael Mulvey this morning, Father. And if you would close our program now with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.